Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. And today I have a special treat for everyone out there. I have a guest, and his name is Johnny Carucci. I hope that I said that correctly. Are you with me, Johnny?
I am, Nicholas. It's a soft C at the beginning. Cerucci.
Cerucci. Okay, I'm glad I got corrected on that. Well, Johnny has written a number of books, and I guess he does a podcast regularly. I don't know that schedule, but I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Johnny. Tell everyone whatever it is you need to know. Give them a bio on yourself.
Well, Nicholas, I've been aware of First Amendment Radio for some time, but it wasn't until a dear friend of mine, Mark, recommended that I get in touch with you because we just resonate on so much critical information. I, real quick, as my background, a career military guy, Marine Corps, Army, I served a tour in Iraq. And a fourth-generation Italian. I was born Italian Roman Catholic. And, boy, there are so many different ethnicities. That's just basically one word, Irish Roman Catholic, Italian Roman Catholic. It's a way of life, Hispanic Roman Catholic. Born and raised it and just kind of fell out of practicing it when I was in my early 20s. Always wanted to know more about the Bible, tried to read my Catholic Bible, my Douay Rheims Bible, just never really got into it. And a good friend of mine brought me to a non-denominational evangelical Christian church, and I had a powerful experience there. I just felt like I was home. I didn't even do an altar call. I felt I was home. It radically changed me.
How long 25 ago was years this?
This was January 16th, 1994. I was 25 years old at the time.
Okay.
And radically altered me. Now, prior to this, I was also doing some, actually right about this time, 94 through 96, started to do some blogging. When I was going to college, I was a journalist. I was a writer for the university newspaper. So this also started me down the road of being an investigator and a journalist. And my family was very patriotic. They put me on the path of a military career. And that's where I stayed with my values. It wasn't until I got older that the usual worn paths that I was on of so-called conservative media started to grate upon me. And I have to say, I guess it was, I forgive my fans. My fans forgive me if they've heard me tell the story many times, but your good listeners at First Amendment Radio have not. So it was really the advent of the Obama administration, Barack Obama, who just kind of popped up out of nowhere. He really was a mystery man when he first appeared out of Chicago. And for some reason, so-called conservative media were all pulling their punches on that guy. They apparently were not interested in any part of his background, Nicholas. And I knew that there's, because at that point, I was blogging, I was writing, I was doing my own investigation. I knew there was a lot of questionable, perhaps even sinister things in Barack Obama's background. So this was the beginning of me starting to look in new venues for my information. It seemed like these so-called conservative sources were just another portion, the other side of the machine coin. What tore it for me finally was the supposed killing of Osama bin Laden in 2011. Now, I had left the Marine Corps in 2001, and on 9/11, I called the Marine Corps back. I was inactive, ready reserve, IRR, as they say. And I said, hey, look, we're at war. You guys need me, right? And the NCO that I spoke to said, no, we're good. We do not need to recall you at this time. And so I used my college degree, and I became an officer in the Army. And it wasn't until I stayed in the Army until 2011, and it was with this war on terror being waged for years, I was already starting to ask questions. It seems like America wasn't getting more secure after all the sacrifices of myself, my family, my brothers. It was getting less secure. I was upset to see nice people would buy me, in fact, when I came home, nice people would buy me coffee and expensive food at the airport, and they turn around and they put their wives and their children through these naked body scanners and hold their arms up as they were told like they were prisoners of war. That's not why I sacrificed, not why I went to Iraq. So it was really the advent of this so-called killing of Osama bin Laden, where SEAL Team 6 shot him on sight and dumped him in the ocean. And the story that we received was constantly being changed. Mainstream media had repeatedly admitted that they were changing their story over and over again. How? Why are you not getting it right the first time? First, Osama bin Laden was surrounded by many wives, and he used them as a screen. Then he was only surrounded by one or two wives. Then he wasn't surrounded at all. Then we were shown a picture of, what do they call it, the Situation Room, with Barack Obama and Robert Gates and Mike Mullins and Hillary Clinton and Leon Panetta. And by the way, many of these people are Jesuit trained. This is something I found out later. Hillary Clinton with her hand over her mouth. The media admitted later that picture was staged. Whoa. Why do I have government officials staging a publicity photo about the killing of Osama bin Laden? Now, meanwhile, I, as a military man, knew this is the guy that was the reason for the so-called war on terror. This is someone that you want to capture and interrogate for years. And I like to use the example of terrorist Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, who supposedly had been waterboarded, I don't know, some ridiculous, ludicrous number, 80 times, if not more, to get every scrap of notes. But Osama bin Laden, you shoot him in sight and dump him in the ocean. What? Well, I just so happened to have my boss at the time, a lieutenant colonel, took me into his office, closed the door, and said, listen, this bin Laden story is a fabrication. That's all I can tell you. Just between you and me. Well, I already knew that, but it was good to get an inside source confirmation. Well, at that point, Nicholas, I knew I needed to look deeper. I knew that I needed to walk away from even so-called. At that time, I honestly thought that conservative media was alternative media. It's not. And unfortunately, Nicholas, I'm sure you've seen that many in so-called Christian alternative media are not Christian alternative media. They still carry water for the machine that we have subsequently found out is a Roman machine. Well, as I began to look deeper, I found a lot of people in alternative media using nebulous terms. Deep state, globalist, The big one at this time, 6-7 years ago, was Illuminati. Kept seeing that over and over. Illuminati, Illuminati. It wasn't until I fell upon a source that told me that the Illuminati, if there were ever anything respectable as far as a secret society of a power broker secret society, was founded by a man named Johann Adam Weishaupt. Johann Adam Weishaupt came from Bavaria, from a family of Jews who had converted to Catholicism, was surrounded by Jesuits his entire life, began a Jesuit education at the tender age of 7, eventually taught canon law at Jesuit Ingolstadt University, and was likely an ordained Jesuit himself. I was shocked. How am I continuously hearing the word Illuminati, which really means nothing? If the Illuminati are the bad guys, you want to fight the Illuminati, how do you do that? And no one was saying the word Jesuit. Well, I took it upon myself to really dig down. And one of my columns on this Jesuit Illuminati connection did very well. And that encouraged me to write my first book, Illuminati Unmasked, about this connection. Now, I had always known, as growing up Catholic, and then I was saved, converted, saved, born again in Jesus Christ in 1994. And after being saved, I had heard from the fringe, Nicholas, some questionable things about the Catholic Church, but nobody gave me any real details. No one went into the weeds. No one broke out Fox's Book of Martyrs. No one explained who the Vatican was. I just had this underlying suspicion. Had a couple of great books on my shelf that are still there today. Lorraine Bettner's, Roman Catholicism, and Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons. And that was an eye-opener. Later, what else did I get? I got, those are the two big ones. Those are the two big ones. And I started to dig a little deeper. And as I said, this was the advent of my first book, Illuminati Unmasked. And I've never turned back. Everywhere I now look, Nicholas, I see the hand that has been erased of the great harlot of Revelation, particularly Revelation 17. I don't know how anybody can look at their Bible, particularly Revelation 17, the great harlot drunk on the blood of the saints, clothed in scarlet and purple, and not see Rome. And that's probably because she has erased herself from Christian eschatology, from Christian prophecy. And I've been deeply upset and concerned since my awakening with just how many mainstream Christian figures have purposefully ignored. There's no way, Nicholas. I'm curious, what is your opinion on these mainstream figures? It's not possible, Nicholas, that they haven't come across the information on Rome's role of persecution of Christians and suppression of the Word of God. How do you explain these?
Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that they're like you were before your eyes were opened?
Can you manage to become a mega church pastor? Can you manage to go through? Nicholas, I never went to seminary. Can you go to seminary and never be exposed to Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Of course you can. With the Counter-Reformation control of all the seminaries, you certainly can. You can't find one seminary out there that's teaching Protestant historicism. Not one.
How about a seminary that mentions a guy named Martin Luther? Do we dig into?
Oh, those are rare too. But you know, even the Pope celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and said some nice things about Martin Luther.
I have found that since then, that the closest you will get to a Christian public figure mentioning any problem with the Catholic Church is a watered-down debate on salvation of works versus salvation by grace.
There you go. Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. Listen, Rome, I have found, I'm now four books later, Rome is more powerful now than she ever was.
That's right.
Truly, she is Mystery Babylon. Truly, she controls...
Well, you know, the operative word there is mystery, you know, also described as the beast who was and is not, yet is. There's definitely a mystery there. You know, it's kind of like the layers of an onion. She keeps herself covered at all times by layer upon layer to deflect any direct visual on what she's doing. She wants you to go through several layers at least before you get to the bottom of who's behind everything that's evil, that and all of the control in the world, the money system, everything from the media, the money system, entertainment. She's underlying all of it. Well, you know, people talk about the Illuminati, the shadow government. Well, I just say it the way it is. It's the shadow government is the Jesuits who work for the Antichrist, and they even are covered by layers. But they're there. They're everywhere.
Real historians, as you know, Nicholas, being one, especially good Protestant historians, will know and will tell you what has been erased from our consciousness and from our learning, which is that those who protested, particularly the generation of Luther, who is himself an Augustinian monk, Luther, Knox, Calvin, Zwingli, all saw the office of the papacy as Antichrist, the entire office as Antichrist. When Christ warned his disciples in Matthew 24, many will come in my name. Does that apply to just Pope Francis? Because even there are Catholics today saying that Pope Francis is the Antichrist. No, that's the entire office. When any pope throughout history writes or speaks so-called ex cathedra, they do so in capital plural pronouns, equating themselves with Almighty God. Mao Zedong didn't do that. Adolf Hitler didn't do that. Napoleon Bonaparte didn't do that, although he was thoroughly controlled by, as they all were, as they all were. Joseph Stalin, I've got information that Joseph Stalin was an ordained Jesuit, ordained at the secret Jesuit Orthodox Seminary in Tiflis, Georgia. Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf was ghostwritten by Jesuit, vicious anti-Semite Jesuit Bernard Stamfel. The Nazi movement was completely created by Rome to punish Luther's homeland.
Oh, yeah, even, you know, Obama's, what is it, Dreams of My Fathers or whatever that book was he was supposed to have written?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't know exactly who ghost wrote Dreams of My Father for Obama, but I can tell you that Obama was mentored by a Jesuit, Greg Galuzzo. He supposedly is an ex-Jesuit, but I don't believe that.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah. If he's an ex, the only ex-Jesuits are true Protestants. Because if they're not,
that's
an excellent
point.
If they're not true Protestants, they're never ex-Jesuits.
Absolutely correct. I like the work of Alberto Rivera, who vehemently spoke against.
See, there's a true ex-Jesuit.
Yes. As opposed to someone like Malachi Martin, who supposedly left the Jesuit order but maintained his ordination as a Roman Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
So Malachi Martin then comes out and writes a supposed scathing criticism of the Jesuits, titled The Jesuits, where he basically says, you know, the Jesuits were good guys up until they became communists in the 60s.
Oh, my. That's a terrible, terrible
now they've gone
tragedy.
Now,
yes.
Yes. Now they're but what's worthwhile, Nicholas, and it's certainly for your audience, absolutely, I don't turn down any source. Martin's, I actually have a hard copy of Martin's book, The Jesuits, with highlighting and notes, even though
absolutely.
It's pure propaganda. It's fantastic for giving the details. So when Martin outs the Jesuits as being communists, what he's telling you, if you look past the propaganda that the Jesuits used to be good guys, he's also telling you the details of how much the Jesuits own communism.
That's
a great
right.
example.
Yeah.
A great example. God, I didn't mean to cut you off. A great example, Nicholas, is the front man for communism, supposed German Jew, Karl Heinrich Marx. And Alberto Rivera said that he was given a personal briefing by Augustine Bay, Cardinal, Jesuit Cardinal Augustine Bay. And Augustine Bay told him that the Jesuits spoon-fed Karl Marx the tenets of communism when he was in a private reading room at the British Museum. Very believable, because the century before, the Jesuits were putting truth to power and perfecting communism with their reductionist settlements in South America. Based on the writings of Thomas Aquinas against the ownership of property. So as I came across this information, I was just absolutely shocked. Basically, bottom line, Nicholas, at how it was that this could be erased from my visibility. It was two awakenings. The first awakening was that the government and the media were lying to me. The second awakening was alternative media was lying to me. All controlled by the Jesuits. And then I was able to step out of my military career. I left the military very unhappy, and now it's by the grace of God. Left the military very unhappy because the military is absolutely corrupt.
Yeah, the military works for the Jesuit-controlled New World Order.
It was one of the most painful things that I had to come to grips with, Nicholas, that...
Understandable.
The military in specific and the United States in general were fabricated from the beginning as to be the sword arm of Rome. The biggest vulnerability is also her strength. That's why she's Mystery Babylon. She controls, when she converted from a military empire to a religious empire, she gave up her standing army. She no longer could control her slaves by having soldiers on street corners. She now had to use the soldiers of other nations. And that's what she did. And that's what she does to this day. And it was one of the most difficult things for me to come to grips with, as someone that, to this day, still loves America, that my country wasn't just taken over, but was founded as part of a Roman insurgency. Because what this also does for her, not only does the United States government and the United States military punish her enemies for her, make her trillions of dollars for her, commit her crimes for her, but on those rare occasions where those crimes are outed, the good American people get blamed.
Oh, yeah, and it's like the U.S. dollar. You know, America gave her control of the money of the world through the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury back in 1913.
And that's why a Jesuit priest took pictures of everyone on the Titanic and then quickly got off the Titanic, because many enemies of the Federal Reserve were on board the Titanic.
Yes, I've heard that story too, and I have no doubts about it.
Oh, let's see. If I can give you an exact name of this priest. I always love to give names, places, and dates. It was Brown, I think it was his name, Father Brown. Oh, let's see here. A Jesuit on the Titanic. Yes, Father Brown. B-R-O-W-N-E. Brown with an E. Francis Brown. Oh, boy, do the Catholics love to name their kids after the co-founder of the Jesuits.
Okay, hey, we're going into a break, so hold that thought. And everyone, you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. And we will return after a few messages. Don't go anywhere.
behold God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and my guest today is Johnny Cerucci, and you can check out his website at johnnycerucci.com. I put a link in the chat room there if anyone's interested in that. Okay, Johnny, where we left off or where you'd like to go, I'm going to let you lead the way for this segment, so go ahead.
Well, Nicholas, it's all part of my awakening to, man, so many things. I continue to tell people knowledge of the Antichrist, knowledge of the great harlot, is absolutely intertwined. And I'm going to speak as a Christian to a Christian to a largely Christian audience. On my programs, I will sometimes try to be more inclusive, knowing that I have non-Christians in my audience. But I'm going to cut right to the point here with your largely Christian audience and say I have found that knowledge of the Antichrist is absolutely intertwined with knowledge of the Christ. Someone who comes to Christ and is oblivious of, and I say the Antichrist in meaning as a general metaphor for Rome, is in terrible danger because Rome has erased herself. Rome has clouded the very scriptures. You are going to come across so-called problems and challenges as a Christian that if you are not aware of the skullduggery of the Vatican and her Jesuit shock troops, you might actually consider leaving your faith because you'll come across this idea. You'll come across Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. The visions of Nebuchadnezzar and the vision of Daniel himself, that scholars all agree the four medals of Nebuchadnezzar's statue are the same as the four beasts in Daniel's vision.
Absolutely.
Being Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Well, you as a Christian will then step back. Why did God make these visions so incomplete? Rome fell 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Why would God just stop there? Why wouldn't God continue to tell us about these enemies, these man-made empires that I have to keep an eye out for? Once you are aware that Rome never died. That Rome, why does Daniel describe her as the beast unlike the previous beasts? Mm-hmm. Because she transforms herself and continues to control through to this day. And every single Christian figure that gives her cover.
Well, you know, it's all there in the Daniel 2 image. Too. Also, the whole history is there that Rome does exist up until Christ returns. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no vacant time. But, you know, the Counter-Reformation, the Jesuit Counter-Reformation with their alternatives have been very successful for the Antichrist in hiding true Protestant and Bible interpretation of the prophecies. And overlaying it, of course, with this dispensational rapture nonsense.
Well, Nicholas, how many Christians who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, how many Christians decide they're not going to fight injustice? They're not going to get involved with this idea of Rome committing crimes to this very day? With crazy people like us accusing Rome of war profiteering and trafficking in drugs and human beings. Listen, we're not going to bother with that because the tribulation isn't here yet. And before it gets here, we're all going to be whisked away. So the people that believe that, how many of them know that those ideas didn't come from the Bible? They came from Jesuits.
Yeah, well,
and very, very
most
often
of them
Nicholas,
don't know that.
They don't, and not only that, you may have some people that will say, "Man, I don't know anything about the Jesuits, but boy, those Jewish people, they're the real problem. They're look at there, you got that Harvey Weinstein is abusing people in Hollywood. Then you got that Jeffrey Epstein is providing kids to the rich and shameless. Kids to people like Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, they're all those bad Jewish people. But do they know that this is a method, a Vatican Roman method?
Those are the layers I was talking about.
Layers. Scapegoats.
Yeah.
Scapegoats. And what I'm thinking of in particular, a great example.
Well, I call it several layers of plausible deniability for the masses, that is. And for those that start to research, they'll look at those first layer, maybe the second layer, but they don't go down below the third, fourth, fifth, sixth layers and see what's underlying all of it.
I have found, Nicholas, that behind every prominent, apparently evil Jew is a Roman. And I like to use this example going back to the pre-tribulation rapture. How many Christians, and by the way, it's shocking, Nicholas. It absolutely shocked me. 95 to 98% of Protestant evangelical fundamentalist Christian churches teach Jesuit heresy. Jesuit heresy as biblical doctrine, amongst of which is the pre-tribulation rapture.
How about the seven-year tribulation altogether? I call it the seven-year tribulation deception. Because
all
it is.
All coming from Manuel de Lacunza, a Jesuit priest pretending to be a Jewish rabbi named Juan Jehoshaphat ben Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get more illustrative than that of Jews, of Jesuits scapegoating Jews and basically creating a false reality, weaving a web of false reality.
Writing, like the protocols of the elders of Zion.
an absolute Roman hoax.
Absolutely.
To promote the idea that the people in charge are Jews.
Yeah, so people like Chuck Baldwin and Rick Wiles at True News can stop at that layer.
Exactly. And I'm a very cynical guy, Nicholas. I'm a very cynical guy. You know, there are a lot of the carrot and the stick stops them. The carrot and the stick. If they start to go any further, if they peel back the onion and start to look at Rome, they lose numbers, they lose advertising, maybe some weird things will happen to them at home, and they get trained. And perhaps their Christian walk is not as strong as, say, you or I, where we feel conscious driven.
I like to say they're not as reformed.
Well, I won't even say that, because Ezekiel 33 says very clearly, if the watchman on the wall sees a danger and keeps it to himself for his own benefit, whatever harm, whatever blood flows as a result will be on their hands and their heads.
Absolutely.
So if these Christian public speakers have been exposed, and there are several that I use examples who I have personally briefed to this information, names, places, and dates. Can you be a prominent Christian and have no idea? You've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs? And Fox's Book of Martyrs has been thoroughly rewritten by Jesuits anyway. And even so, it still is blood-curdling what Rome has done. To hear a child mention a memorized passage in Scripture and to slaughter the entire family as a result? Burn them alive because a child mentioned Scripture? Evil. Absolute. The dragon of Revelation. How you cannot be exposed to this as a public figure, I really don't know. This is between themselves and the Lord. But what is suspicious to me, Nicholas, is that not a single one of them. And there are a great many Christian public figures. And not a single one of them mentions any of this. I dare say more than a few have been exposed to this information and are purposefully keeping the dangers of Rome to themselves for their own personal gain. They will be judged.
I guess that would make them Jesuit coadjutors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, Jesuits wear many masks, even that of Protestants, pastors, they infiltrate churches. No one would ever know that they were a Jesuit. Some of them will have Catholic history or Catholic education in their history, but nobody questions it because, like I have to say again, the Counter-Reformation has been very successful in the world.
It's in the Jesuit oath to infiltrate, and they take particular pleasure in pretending to be us and humiliating us. There are several prominent figures that portend to be Protestants and are embarrassing on purpose.
You wouldn't want to name any names, would you?
I think, for one, a Baptist pastor by the name of Stephen Anderson.
Ah.
I think for sure is an incognito Jesuit priest.
Okay.
And probably my guess is probably a homosexual. And he rails from his supposed Baptist pulpit and says some of the most heinous, offensive things. Things that no Christian pastor would ever say about anyone who was homosexual. He takes it to an offensive extreme because as an incognito Jesuit priest, it's his job to infiltrate, pretend.
Didn't he come out a few years ago as anti-rapture or something like that?
It's all part of the game.
I know.
The more you can give truth to give yourself validity, the more you will hook people.
Yes.
The game, Nicholas, is to dance as close to the fire of truth without jumping in.
Well, yeah, because they want to snag anybody who's getting close to the truth by giving them that truth that they're getting close to and without losing them entirely.
Then waiting at the last minute to change course. Feed them. Hey, you know, you're questioning 9-11. You're questioning the official story of 9-11. Oh, yeah. You think that Rome is filled with bad people? Absolutely. Come on over here. But I'll show you. It's really the Illuminati. Really, it's the Satan worshiper. Really, it's the deep state.
Johnny, it's the Jews.
Yeah. And there are quite a few Catholic speakers that promote this idea too. You know, there was a Roman Catholic priest named Charles Coughlin out of Detroit who made millions of dollars blaming Jews. Powerful, powerful public figures. People buy into this idea that there's a separation of church and state in the Constitution. That was a fabrication by the Jesuit-controlled Supreme Court. And what that does is, if the law demands that there is no Christian spiritual influence upon government, that allows a free hand to the real power behind the scenes, to the point where we now have we've always had ordained Roman Catholic priests involved in United States government. A commonly accepted example would be Father Theodore Hesburgh, the far-left president of Notre Dame, who has been part of at least six different presidential administrations on the Presidential Civil Rights Commission and helped to write the Civil Rights Act.
Huh.
The really insidious ones are the ones like Robert Hupp, the priest who used to run Boys Town, and Boys Town has been implicated in child trafficking. So why not make Robert Hupp the United States government representative to the United Nations on matters of child safety? This is how satanic they are. This is how evil they are. one of the federal prosecutors who brought Jeffrey Dahmer to justice, I'll take a second to look up his name, was a Jesuit priest. Give me a second, I'll get his name for you. People have no idea. This concept of not allowing any vestige of faith to be involved in government, all that does is it gives the harlot behind the curtain carte blanche to control. Carte blanche. I've got a list of 60 names in the Trump administration of people directly or indirectly related to the Catholic Church.
No doubt.
And what I've seen is that she particularly likes to use training, Catholic education, Jesuit education, because I think the prosecutor's name is Jesuit Father Gregory O'Meara, who later became the rector of Creighton University. United States prosecuting attorney who was given, and Jeffrey Dahmer, man, I want to keep this family-oriented show. Jeffrey Dahmer thoroughly controlled by the Catholic Church to the point where Jesuit Marquette University, who trained Dahmer's father in chemistry, something important to Dahmer's crimes, Marquette University bought Jeffrey Dahmer's entire apartment building and razed it to the ground. The level of crime. This is why I started to write Romans of Mass Destruction. Volumes, multiple volumes set. I did not think I could do a follow-on to Eaters of Children. Eaters of Children shows look, it's common knowledge. I can say, let's keep this off the out of our family program. Every day, mainstream news is telling us of what my team and I call the pedophile priest shuffle. We spoke today in our stream about devout Roman Catholic philanthropist, so-called philanthropist, Jean Vanier, who exploited his position as a charity tailing to the needs of the handicapped to prey upon women and children. We've seen this again and again and again. It's not just one or two wolves, Roman Catholic priests, who prey upon children. It's an epidemic, Nicholas. It's an epidemic.
Well, it's a way of life.
It is absolutely. It must be a way of life for them. Because they vow celibacy. They have no gift from God to be immune to their natural human desires.
That's right.
It is demanded by their church that they ignore them for their lifetime. They bottle them up to the point where there's no outlet except something that is perverse, satanic, criminal. And this figure that I have seen repeatedly, that only 6% act out, is an absolute lie. Every Catholic clergy, men and women who are celibate, spend a lifetime in celibacy, have to deal with overwhelming desires, bottled up, pent up desires, that Paul explained are best handled with if you don't have a gift, which is very unique. If you don't have a gift from Christ to remain unmarried, it is best that a man and a woman marry. Because it's just natural. And it's unnatural for you to maintain these desires without an outlet. And it's guaranteed that at some point you're going to want to act on them, act them out. And this paradigm is the absolute same. You'd see it again and again and again. It is a massive war crime. A pedophile priest violates a child. The Catholic family goes to their superior, goes to the bishop, complains. The bishop sends the priest for training. They're disappeared. At no point is law enforcement involved. After the priest goes on his vacation, his two-month vacation, he is reinserted in a new diocese where the unsuspecting families know nothing, and he begins to prey upon children again. It's the exact same pattern. It takes place thousands of times. It is a war crime. We mentioned this earlier in our stream today, my team and I. The Roman Catholic Church controls infrastructure. The Catholic Church, how close are we to your break? I see 12:55.
Let's see. We're a couple minutes off here.
Okay. When the Catholic Church, I try not to even say we when I talk about the United States. You and I are we, Nicholas.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's separate from the crimes of the Roman-controlled government.
Yeah, I'm not part of the we.
Separation of church and state, and yet the Roman Catholic Church runs hospitals, orphanages, schools, and in each of those cases are committing monstrous crimes.
Yes.
Monstrous crimes. In Argentina, an orphanage for handicapped children had the clergy preying upon and violating those kids. It makes me so upset. I can barely speak, Nicholas. These kids, orphans, can you think of anything more vulnerable? Anything more vulnerable than a child without parents who is also unable to speak or hear or see, God forbid, and then you go and you prey upon such a child, you abuse, you sexually abuse, you monster. Catholic orphanage for handicapped children. Catholic schools where children are abused, violated. Hospitals, well known that Francisco Franco, whose dear friend was Escriba, the founder of Opus Dei, kidnapped the infants of his political enemies and sold them on the black market, aided by the Catholic Church. Even after Franco left office, the Catholic Church continued to do that. Would not have been able to do that had not the Catholic Church been running hospitals in Spain, as she does everywhere. The Catholic Church runs 90% of the schools in Ireland, even the schools that are taxpayer funded. 90% in Ireland. Well, just as they do in the United States. Separation of church and state. No such thing.
Well, here comes that break. And I agree. They mostly have the control over all education in the United States. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that in the next hour. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur. My guest is Johnny Cerucci. And we will be back after some messages and the news.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. Former Vice President Joe Biden has a big night on Super Tuesday. Eben Brown reports from Austin, Texas.
Joe Biden's Texas victory wasn't a landslide, but it was decisive, beating Bernie Sanders by 70,000 statewide votes. Mike Bloomberg finished a distant third, but still convinced 287,000 Texans to vote for him. And the talk at Democratic Party headquarters here in Austin last night was that if there was no Mike Bloomberg, those votes would all have gone to Joe Biden. But also the belief that the late endorsements from Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Beto O'Rourke drove even more votes Biden's way. And they hope it translates to Democrats voting in November. In Austin, Texas, Eben Brown, Fox News.
A pro-family pundit believes many in the Democratic Party are deeply concerned about Joe Biden's fitness to be president and may take an extraordinary step if he's nominated.
It is no secret that the former vice president has been described as a gaffe machine over the years. But in recent weeks, on the campaign trail, Biden has perhaps brought it to a new level.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I? 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Sandy Rios is Director of Governmental Affairs at the American Family Association. During an appearance on American Family Radio, she presented a possible scenario for a Biden candidacy moving forward.
Many people believe, and I'm one of them, that if they can just manipulate things so that Joe wins the nomination and if they prevent Bernie Sanders from getting it, they will appoint someone like Hillary Clinton as his vice president, and then Joe will be sort of pulled aside and he won't really be running things. Because I don't think he can. I think it's pretty obvious that he is not capable anymore. There are just too many mistakes. It's hard to listen to. It's not even funny anymore. It's just sad.
I'm Chad Groening.
Meanwhile, President Trump continues to sweep the Republican primaries, John Decker reports.
President Trump sweeping the Republican presidential primaries and tweeting about the Democrats, writing, "The Democrat establishment came together and crushed Bernie Sanders again." He continued, "Even the fact that Elizabeth Warren stayed in the race was devastating to Bernie and allowed Sleepy Joe to unthinkably win Massachusetts." Also tweeting, "The biggest loser by far is Mini Mike Bloomberg. His political consultants took him for a ride." At the White House, John Decker, Fox News.
The second deadliest tornado in Tennessee history ripped through the state, killing at least 24 people and destroying more than 140 buildings. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee joined America's Newsroom to explain the devastating fallout.
The best of people come out in the worst of times, and government can provide all kinds of assistance, but it's hope that Tennesseans need, and God provides that hope through the hands and feet and hearts of those who serve, and volunteers from all over this state are serving.
Emergency crews are still combing through the damage in search of missing people. Tennessee is now under a state of emergency. The U.S. Supreme Court is taking up a high-profile abortion case. More from Rachel Sutherland.
At issue, can states require doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges at local hospitals? The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on Louisiana's Unsafe Abortion Protection Act, which the state says improves abortion safety via doctor credentialing. Opponents say the law is designed to restrict abortions and threatens Roe v. Wade. If the high court upholds Louisiana's law, other states may follow suit. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
U.S. businesses added 183,000 jobs last month, a solid gain that shows the economy was largely healthy when the coronavirus outbreak spread further around the globe. Payroll processor ADP said today that February's hiring was down from 209,000 the previous month. Manufacturing and mining firms shed jobs last month, while hiring in healthcare and a category mostly made up of hotels and restaurants was strong. For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Prophecy Reality, and I'm Nicholas, and my guest is Johnny Cerucci. He has a podcast called, I guess it's Resistance Rising, and we were discussing Johnny coming over to First Amendment Radio and doing a regular broadcast here, and I guess we will continue to discuss that, and we'll keep everyone posted on what we come up with. Are you there, Johnny?
I am, Nicholas. I've had nothing but a great experience so far, and I am going to redouble my efforts to provide you with some content so that we can collaborate and partner together. It's absolutely worthwhile for me to do that. I'm just super busy, but I'm going to make sure that it happens.
Are you doing a podcast presently?
I am. It's more of a team. I have a team that we stream regularly, and listen, I would be happy. I have been uploading my streams to my Blog Talk Radio channel, Resistance Rising on Blog Talk Radio. But I'd be very pleased to give you unique content. Going through my own books, I know it's sometimes it's very helpful to have authors talk about their books or even read critical books, such as any of the classics. So I could do that for you. Just take a little bit of time, and I'll be happy to work that in for you, Nicholas.
Yeah, just got to get it into the groove there somewhere, huh?
Absolutely. We will get a routine for you. You bet.
Okay, well, I'm sure the listeners will be looking forward to that. Well, what would you like to talk about this hour?
Yeah, you mentioned before we left for the break on the last hour the importance of Jesuit education. And I can only say that this was one of the top Jesuit agendas since their founding. And there are some sources that explain our very modern concept of education comes from Rome, both military and religious Rome. And it absolutely does. The idea of forcing all children to go through a process where you train them how to think or how not to think, how to destroy their creativity, to destroy their critical thinking.
Yes.
Their desire to question authority.
Yeah, pretty much what they used to burn people at the stake for.
Absolutely.
If they can train it out of them as children, well, then I guess they don't have to burn them then, do they?
There is a source that I like on this, promoted by Lou Rockwell and the Libertarians, a guy by the name of Thomas Woods. And I've got Thomas Woods saying that modern education was given to us by the Catholic Church. He himself is devout Roman Catholic, so I'm not surprised. Why is it that public education does not train our children in anything they need?
Yeah.
Nicholas, if you or I were writing the curriculum for our kids, we would teach them cars. We would teach them computers. We would teach them bills, banking.
Laws from blacks, the law. We would teach
Blackstone,
them the law.
Sure.
Blackstone.
Yeah, Blackstone's
right.
Law,
that's
sure.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
We would teach them debt.
Yeah, true banking, money. Where money comes
credit
from,
cards,
what it is.
Housing.
How it came about. We would teach them all those things.
Absolutely. None of this they receive.
No, instead they're teaching them how to be something they're not and can never be, and that is something other than a boy or a girl.
Well, and this sexual deviancy agenda is critical to Rome because it deflates the outpouring of future enemies. The most dangerous thing to this system, this poisonous system, is a well-adjusted, moral, upright, do I dare say also heterosexual?
Hey, this individual. Is First Amendment Radio. You can tell it like it is here.
Yeah. Well, good. God bless you for that. Yeah. And also because it's First Amendment Radio, where our audience is largely Christian. The best source for these well-adjusted, balanced values is Jesus Christ. And so all of that is under constant attack to encourage kids not to have self-control and self-discipline, but to indulge in the lusts of the flesh. Why? Because once you allow your body to rule over you, once you indulge yourself, it's an addiction. You are now easily manipulated. It's absolutely fascinating, Nicholas, in my research, how often I've seen a thread of sexual deviancy. A good example that comes to mind is the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The cabal in Roman Catholic New Orleans, whether it was Clay Shaw, who worked for Army Intelligence in Rome in World War II, or David Ferry, who was a Jesuit-trained, almost a Roman Catholic priest. Sexual deviancy ran through all of what they did. Because it's easy to control someone. It's easy to blackmail them. And that's why it's done.
Well, yeah, you can't stand up against evil if you're drowning in it.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. And what it does is it creates a guilty conscience to help control and manipulate.
Exactly.
Why are there not more good people in government who take a stand against evil? Because they've all been compromised themselves. They are racked by guilt. They're worried about blackmail. It is a well-oiled machine. The higher you rise, this is why I adjure my audience, adjure and assure them repeatedly, the higher, the more powerful a person is, the more you can guarantee that they have been blackmailed. You are not going to get anywhere near any kind of public, powerful public office unless you are owned. We covered a story just the other day in our stream of a woman who ran for mayor in Colorado Springs. I have to come up with her name. Woman who ran for mayor of Colorado Springs, who was arrested for trying to drug a newborn mother, a mother with a newborn baby, and steal her baby. She was educated at Jesuit Gonzaga. She was beat by someone educated at Notre Dame. The level to which there is corruption and control, satanic levels of control by the Vatican, are shocking. Not just the national, not just the state, but the local. I'll give you her name in a second. I don't know, Springs.
It would be shocking to most people. Not to me or you, but
And this is my Juliet Parker. Juliet Parker ran for mayor of Colorado Springs just in 2019. Jesuit educated at Gonzaga. Tried to steal a woman's baby by drugging her. She was beat by a Notre Dame grad. We now have in England, they used to wait. We used to have guys like Tony Blair. Liberal leftist Tony Blair would go through his sit there as prime minister, and no one knew he served Rome until after he left office, and then he converted to Roman Catholicism. Now we have guys like Boris Johnson who are overt Roman Catholics now. We're definitely in the end times. We're definitely in a problem. Never thought I would see a Jesuit as a white pope, what we call a white pope. And I'm concerned that Francis is there, Jorge Mario Bergoglio is there, possibly to take a fall and to lull us in a false sense of security. But there's no telling. We call the Superior General the Black Pope because of the power that he wields from behind the scenes. And also how he supposedly wears the humble black cassock of a common priest. Probably the most powerful man in the world.
Yep. Right up there at the top.
Arturo Sosa is the current Superior General. And not too long ago, we had multiple Superior Generals.
I mean, you know, it's like I said, the Jesuit army out there, known and unknown, they are the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist.
Absolutely. It's an infrastructure. It's a very real infrastructure. And this brings us back to what we were talking about originally. You tell people it's the Illuminati. It's the deep state.
Yeah.
It's the globalists. How do you fight that? But if you tell people there are Roman Catholic clergy teaching in your public schools in civilian attire and you don't even know it, that they can get angry about that. They can fight. There are Roman Catholic clergy running your government. You know, I like to mention...
public schools. The bane of our society is public schools. You know, sorry for all those teachers out there. People almost revere teachers. But look what they've allowed to happen. You know, there's nothing holy or to be reverenced about public teachers. And I'm sorry, they're overpaid for what they're doing and what they're allowing to happen to the children of America. Public schools are an abomination. They shouldn't even be. They're anti-freedom, anti-liberty. They're anti-everything that America, the land of the free, is supposed to stand for.
Absolutely destructive to the proper development of your children, to the point where now we have public schools have crossed over into such deviancy and perversion. It used to be that you needed a permission slip to give your child an aspirin for the school nurse to give you an aspirin. Now they will give your little girl an abortion and not tell you. Now apparently they are pushing to encourage your child to turn in their gender. And anything they do towards that end will also be done without the parents' knowledge.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how people keep sending their children to these places. I'm sure there are a lot of people. How long before they're going to outlaw homeschooling if they can get away with that in America?
Nicholas, it's a system. It's a satanic Roman system. The good people that homeschool their kids, they pay a heavy price. They still pay taxes to put their neighbors' kids through public school.
Well, I know, because I'm a homeschooling father and grandfather.
What a double penalty upon you daring to take your child out.
Yeah, and I have to pay that extortion every year to live in my own property to support the public school system, that abomination.
are absolutely outrageous. An ambitious machine owned by Rome. And I've got a shock. I've got a shocking revelation for good conservative Catholics. You will never have the slightest victory over the slaughter of the unborn.
No, you won't.
Your church is built on the blood of children and will continue to exist on the blood of children. The proof is right before your eyes. All of the mainstream, well-known Roman Catholic public figures that are far left and pro-abortion right through the third trimester to infanticide, every one of them is in good standing with the church. Once in 5 years, you might get a local priest deny the Eucharist to one of them. That's as close as you will get. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, the list goes on and on and on. Of these far left, pro-sexual deviancy, pro-slaughter. I was shocked in my research to find out that the female, former female governor of the state of Kansas, Kathleen Sebelius, one of the most vicious, vehement proponents of abortion, was Roman Catholic. Comes from a line. How often I have found whole families of Roman Catholic leftists that control government and media. Sebelius's father was a governor in a neighboring state. Well, she was ruining the state of Kansas and good friends with monstrous infant killer George Tiller, having special fundraising meetings for Tiller. Catholic, Roman Catholic in good standing. The Cuomos in New York. You got Christopher Cuomo on CNN, and you've got the father and son team, Mario and Andrew, ruining the state of New York. All far left, all in excellent standing with the Catholic Church. Think of the power of the Catholic Church. If the Catholic Church wanted to do anything to save the unborn, the Catholic Church could almost cease it overnight. Stop it overnight.
Yep, no doubt.
The current prime minister in Ireland, with an Irish Roman Catholic and East Indian background, Leo Varadkar, homosexual, married to another man, personally ushered in abortion through all three trimesters to Roman Catholic Ireland. If the Vatican in any way wanted to do anything about that, it could easily have crushed that.
Oh, well, they did want to do something about it, and that's exactly what they did.
It sounds crazy, Nicholas, but it's absolutely true.
I know.
In the same way that the Vatican is supposedly at war with Freemasons, and the reality is the Freemasonry are just the Protestant, the pseudo-Protestant foot soldiers of Rome.
Well, you know, it's like the wolf in sheep's clothing. They wear the cloak of the Bible, but they don't obey it, and they hate it. They wear the cloak of pro-life, but they don't follow through with it because they're really pro-death. I mean, they were dashing the children of Protestants and the Reformed and other heretics against the rocks long, long time ago, and they haven't changed one bit. That corrupt tree, that corrupt tree will never bring forth good fruit.
It's in the Jesuit oath to rip open the wombs of heretic women and dash their infants against the rocks. It's in the Jesuit oath.
Yes, there it is. And we have a Jesuit pope, finally.
Yeah, I really don't know, Nicholas, about this guy. I really think he's so openly leftist. I think that they might want him to take a fall and lull us in a false sense of security. You know, just a few months into his pontificate, he told people he's only going to live for 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can look that up. Pope Francis says, I'll be dead in 2 or 3 years.
Oh, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. But if anything is possible, they might have needed the extra leadership power. There are some people that suspect he's more powerful than Arturo Sosa. I doubt it. Arturo Sosa being the current superior general, I doubt it.
Well, yeah, of course, Pope Francis is under the Black Pope because he's a Jesuit, and Sosa is the Jesuit general. He's the head of the... So, you know, really, who is, you know, he's the Pope over everything. The Black Pope is.
Agreed. And it's no coincidence that you have, for instance, the unprecedented visit of Arturo Sosa to Hong Kong right before the kids start to ramp up the protests. And now I have reports that after being encouraged by Roman Catholic clergy like Cardinal Joseph Zen to go out into the streets and get arrested, that many of these kids have been renditioned, basically disappeared, and thanks to Britain turning Hong Kong over to communist China, these kids have been taken to slave labor in slave labor cities like Laogai. And this is the same format, this is the same pattern that Rome pulls again and again and again to war game the most dangerous portion of the population, get them to stick their head out and basically commit suicide. They did it in Hungary in 56, Bay of Pigs, which was absolutely not an accident, absolutely not mismanagement. It was done on purpose to slaughter good Cuban patriots. And again in Czechoslovakia in 68. And again, the Central Intelligence Agency was behind it all because the CIA is absolutely run by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, we call it Catholics in Action.
And they are. They absolutely are. Founded by devout Roman Catholic William Donovan, Knight of Malta, Order of, I believe it's St. Sylvester, by Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli, who was also a Freemason, by the way.
But, you know, your normal citizens out there, they hear things like what we're saying right now. They hear Catholics in Action, and they think we're crazy.
Names, places, and dates, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Names, places, and dates. An absolute fact that William Donovan was a Wall Street lawyer, a devout Roman Catholic, and a Knight of Malta. When people think of some of the worst crimes that have committed, the evidence points back to the CIA. How is it possible that the God, you got your break coming up.
Yeah. Okay, well, hold that thought there, and we're going to go into a break here. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. I'm Nicholas, and my guest is Johnny Cerucci. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere.
We're in a battle weary nation, full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost the desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long. With their weakened hearts on a holy cause,
hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Listen across the border. This is a Prophecy Reality edition, and my guest today is Johnny Cerucci, and we're looking forward to having Johnny on as a regular feature on First Amendment Radio. We have to work out the details, but stick around, and it's bound to happen. Where did we leave off, Johnny? Or anything you'd like to add to your bio, let people know where, how they can contact you, your website, whatever you'd like to say, and then we can continue our conversation.
Sure, Nicholas, thank you. God bless. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. The name is Johnny Cerucci. It's actually Johnny's nickname for Giovanni. It's J-O-H-N-N-Y-C-I-R-U-C-C-I. I've got 4 books, Illuminati Unmasked, Secret History, Eaters of Children, and Romans of Mass Destruction, which I hope will be volume 1 in an ongoing series, God willing. Excuse me, you can get all of them available on Amazon. My website is johnnycerucci.com, J-O-H-N-N-Y-C-I-R-U-C-C-I.com. You should be able to find me on Blog Talk Radio. Resistance Rising is the show. You should be able to find me. I say that tongue-in-cheek. It's not uncommon for people to actually plug me in and still they can't find me. On YouTube, I have a team, and we will regularly streaming Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't know how long I can keep that up. But this is the kind of information that we put out, names, places, and dates, Nicholas. This is what makes us different from everybody else out there. Names, places, and dates. We can actually show you what is the most important thing who is controlling from behind the scenes? If I would dare say a large portion of your audience are all good, sharp, critical thinkers who are asking questions. If someone is asking a question, if someone steps back and says, wait a minute, I don't know that I believe the government. I don't know that I believe the media. I don't know that I believe the story behind the bin Laden killing. I don't know that I believe the story behind the moon landing or the story behind 9/11 or any number of the story behind the killing of John F. Kennedy. It's pretty obvious to me if I watch the Abraham Zapruder film. Pardon me. That John F. Kennedy was hit multiple times from different directions. And the shot that took his life for sure, what assassins might call the kill shot, obviously came to the from the front and right, knocking his head back and to the left. Clearly, that wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. In the, was it, second, third story of the Book Depository building there?
Yeah.
So if you now question the official story, wait a minute. That means the government and the media have lied to you.
Well, and the lies are so easy to see and expose. I mean, it's like a whole jetliner disappearing through a little hole in the Pentagon. I mean, really, are we supposed to believe that?
Into the financial accounting section.
Yeah. And there's not a piece, not a chair, nothing on the lawn.
And the day before, the Secretary of War, also known as the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, who almost got a business degree from Georgetown before he jumped out of Georgetown. Donald Rumsfeld, on September 10th, 2001, made a public statement that he had lost $2 trillion of the defense budget. Now, I don't know about you, Nicholas, but in prior administrations, in prior nations, that person would be at risk for execution of high treason.
Well, that's true. I mean, if I lost $1,000, I'd be hurting.
If you lost $1,000 of someone else's money, you'd be in prison.
That's right.
How about $2 trillion?
I know. The amount is unimaginable, you know.
And the next day, an airliner pulls a 9G corkscrew turn, defying physics, smacking into the accounting section of the Pentagon,
yes,
which had recently been reinforced to minimize the collateral damage. Just those accounting computers. In the same way that a B-grade actor, shot a deadly AR-15 into Comet Ping Pong Pizza in Washington, D.C., and the lone bullet went into the shop's computer, erasing the records. In the same way that Jeffrey Epstein was a prisoner, a federal prisoner on suicide watch, and managed after a second attempt to kill himself.
Yep. Imagine that.
And the only thing that would happen, the only thing that would occur, is Roman Catholic Attorney General William Barr would replace the director of prisons with a Roman Catholic woman trained at Jesuit Wheeling University, Kathleen Hawke Sawyer. That was the only negative that, to me, as a military man.
You know, the Vatican ruled Western Europe for 1,260 years, but truly today, she rules with a tighter grip than she ever ruled in her history.
Perfectly put. You look back in history at how thorough Rome controlled, to the point where the whole story behind Henry VIII was the fact that the Pope, and I believe it was a Medici Pope at the time, names like Medici, Farnese, Aldo Brandini, Orsini, Colonna, these are the names that control from behind the scenes, not Rothschild.
Yep.
That's Henry VIII couldn't even get a divorce, could not divorce his Roman Catholic Spanish wife, Catherine of Aragon, without permission from the Pope.
Yep.
The king cannot get divorced without the permission of the Pope. Are you kidding me? Today, you exactly as you said, Nicholas, the Roman Catholic Church is far more powerful than she ever was in history. You know, I had that list. I took it down. I had a list of some 60-some-odd names in the Trump administration. One of them is his education secretary.
Yeah, DeVos, I think.
DeVos.
Yeah.
Who is the sister of Eric Prince. Eric Prince, the ex-Navy SEAL and the absolute embodiment of war profiteering behind the company that used to be called Blackwater. You wonder why the global war on terror was initiated on October 7th, which is the Roman Catholic anniversary of the Crusader victory at Lepanto. That's a fact. Who really controls America from behind the scenes? Why would the so-called global war on terror, the assault into Afghanistan, occur on the Crusader anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto? Why would George Bush call it a crusade, which he did?
Yes, he did.
He's just being honest.
Well, George Bush is was definitely more Catholic than many of our late presidents.
Well, absolutely. And his namesake, George Herbert Walker, multimillionaire of his day, was trained by the Jesuits at Stonyhurst in England. The Bushes are far more Catholic. Well, I got a whole dossier on them, too. The Bushes are far more Catholic than people have any idea. And that's...
Well, he stood before the world and he said, "When I look into the eyes of the Pope, I see God." You can't get much more Catholic than that.
Well, you can't get more Catholic than the Skull and Bone Society.
That's
true, too.
Of
which both William Francis Buckley Jr. and John Forbes Carey, the pseudo-right and the far left, are all good members of.
Yeah, you know, I like how the Supreme Court got to be the last stop in deciding our laws. And seeing as how they're dominated by Catholics and a couple of papal court Jews, they get the last word on everything.
Before the quirky death of Antonin Scalia, the Roman Catholic, the Supreme Court was thoroughly, overtly controlled 6 Roman Catholics and 3, as you say and I say, I call them papal court puppet Jews, who were there just because they happened to be Jewish and far left. Now we have a token Protestant, Neil Gorsuch, who is Episcopalian, which is not Protestant. Episcopalian is nothing more than Catholic light.
Well, in my estimation, they're Protestant in name only. A true Protestant is one who is protesting the Antichrist.
Even more ironic than that, Nicholas, Neil Gorsuch was trained by the Jesuits at Georgetown Prep, just as his fellow Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was. So the joke is on us.
So how long does this training take?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at Georgetown Prep, could last anywhere from I believe in a typical prep school, they also include high school grades, but at the bare minimum, a single year preparing, the Jesuits would prepare them for college. But the Supreme Court, the amount of evil that has come from the Supreme Court, whether it's the legalization of pornography or the legalization of the slaughter of the unborn, it's absolutely telling that the Catholic Church would have such white-knuckle control over this venue of tyranny. It's absolutely telling. Especially given that, ask the internet. Oh, by the way, did you know that Google was born on the same day that a Farnese Pope, Alessandro Farnese, Pope Paul III, consecrated the Jesuits September 27th? That's just a coincidence.
Well, type I don't know. Don't they have every day of the calendar covered now?
Well, why not? They created the calendar. One of their Jesuits, Christopher Claudius.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
They have changed times and laws and dates, just as Daniel's predicted.
Yeah.
They own our reality. It was one of the first things they did upon entering into China. Jesuit Matteo Ricci managed to insinuate, worm himself into the Chinese Empire to the point where he became the emperor's astronomer and helped write the Chinese calendar. We just covered this also today in my stream. There are statues, bronze statues, commemorating this hero of China, this Jesuit, Matteo Ricci. Do the communist Chinese really get... Wait a minute. I thought the communist Chinese were atheists. Why do they have so much love and adoration for this Jesuit? Well, it's obvious. Because we're right, Nicholas. Because all roads do lead to Rome. Now, if you look back at some of these crimes that the CIA has committed, absolutely shocking. And these are some mainstream sources. Slipping innocent American citizens. Oh, in the nicest context, slipping an LSD Mickey into the drinks of innocent Americans to experiment upon them for purposes of mind control. That's the nicest thing they've done. Actually kidnapping innocent Americans, torturing them as part of mind control experimentation. The aforementioned assassination of openly Catholic John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which was part of the deal, which is why he was so appealing to Rome to be murdered, is the sympathy for the first openly Catholic president. Meanwhile, all previous presidents were secretly subverted by Rome from behind the scenes. The amount of control is just shocking. How is it possible that the CIA would commit crimes that America's worst enemies could only dream of? Well, we already told you. Founded by Roman Catholic Wall Street lawyer William Donovan, Knight of Malta. And the number of, we call it Catholics in action out of cynicism. It's not a joke. The number of Roman Catholics that helped steer the black budget of the CIA. It's an endless list. Not just directors, but deputy directors, associate directors. The very first director, when the CIA became from the OSS became the CIA, Walter Bedell Smith, a devout Roman Catholic, hated by George S. Patton, which is probably why William Donovan had George Patton murdered. The number of Americans murdered by the CIA, to include the president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, to include war heroes like George Patton. I commend to you Robert Wilcox, Target Patton. You'll never see the word Jesuit or Vatican in the book, but if you can read it with the eyes of us, Nicholas and myself. You can fill in the blanks. Compromise by Terry Kent Reed. Excellent book on how the Bush and Clinton administrations were founded on mountains of cocaine flown through MENA, Arkansas. This is the guy that did some of the flying for the CIA. Are you kidding me? America's worst enemies can't think of murdering generals, murdering presidents, trafficking drugs, trafficking human beings, torturing innocent people. Nicholas, Fidel Castro is said to have survived over 630 assassination attempts. How is it possible that the CIA is able to murder a sitting United States president and yet is so ineffective against a little tin dictator like Fidel Castro? Well, it's pretty straightforward and obvious.
Yes, it is.
Fidel is a good Roman Catholic, trained in no fewer than three separate Jesuit institutions. Brother Raul is the same. How is it possible that our communist enemy, Cuba, would allow us to maintain a United States government military rendition, secret torture base, Guantanamo Bay, on their island? Why would they do that? Why would America even want such a base? Because you can do evil things to innocent people there that you couldn't do on the continental United States.
That's right.
How is it possible that Barack Obama would campaign on one of his top five campaign promises to close Guantanamo Bay? What is done at Guantanamo Bay? Innocent Middle Easterners are tortured into becoming terrorists to continue the global war on terror. And I've told people, Donald Trump will close the borders as fast as Barack Obama closed Guantanamo Bay. Never. Donald Trump is an absolute puppet of Rome. And Rome wants and has gotten endless streams. The illegal aliens streaming across the American borders have nothing to do with their ethnicity.
Nope.
It is all about their religion.
That's right.
The vast, vast majority of illegal aliens are all good Catholics. It is a military conquest that has been going on, high treason, for decades. Before and through, Puerto Rico was usurped as an American protectorate, legalizing 3 million Roman Catholic Puerto Ricans. Donald Trump will never slow the tide of Roman Catholic illegal aliens because he is owned by Rome, as all the major government officials are. The Trudeaus in Canada, who, by the way, very, very close to the Castros in Cuba, all good Jesuit-trained Catholics. All of them, from both countries.
Yep.
And good communists, too. The far-left Trudeaus. That's why they had so much in common with Fidel. As a matter of fact, I've got an article. It's entirely possible that Justin Trudeau is a love child of Fidel Castro. As crazy as that sounds, names, places, and dates. I encourage you to look that up on JohnnySerucci.com. Frequent visitors down there. You'd ask, why would a democracy, why would a Western democracy be so friendly with a so-called atheist communist puppet state? What is the common factor? Rome.
Yep.
Which is also why, I believe it was Francis, Pope Francis took the Russian Orthodox primate, Kirill, and had Kirill kiss the ring. Where? In Cuba. That's certainly the place I would, and the good Orthodox people have no idea how thoroughly controlled they are. I gave that example earlier that Joseph Stalin, that monster who slaughtered, the Georgian monster who slaughtered 40 million good Russians and sent many, many more to the gulags, a Jesuit priest of Georgia, not a Russian, selected by Rome. Because Catherine, rewritten as Catherine the Great, the Prussian, invited the Jesuits there upon their suppression in 1773. And they took root and hatched the October Revolution through Vladimir Ledikowski, the Superior General, and one of the most powerful Jesuits at all times, of all time, Edmund Walsh. Simultaneously as they hatched the Nazi Third Reich.
Yep.
It is an absolute masterful web of deceit and alternate reality woven by Rome, Nicholas.
Well, yeah, I agree, and more people need to learn about it. And we're just about out of time here, Johnny. Last time, Johnny Cerucci, or Cerucci.com, I'll get it straight one of these days. I want to thank you so much for visiting us today, and we look forward to hearing from you regularly on First Amendment Radio.
I had a great time, Nicholas. I look forward to it myself. God bless you.
We'll see you later. Bye. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you all next time on Prophecy Reality.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount?